You are listening to the Finding Careers End podcast. I'm Pete Newsom. I'm with Ricky Baez today on a beautiful Friday morning. Ricky, how are you?
Yes, it is beautiful. The sun finally came out, not like 20 minutes ago.
Man, you have your radio voice going this morning.
I do, because I think we've done this a lot today.
We've got practice. Okay. You know, anyone listening is not supposed to know we've had two false starts this morning. I will say that they're completely my fault. And
right. It happens. We're human beings, Pete.
And what a perfect segue into our theme today, that not everything works out as you would like for it to. And that is true in podcast recording, as is true in the job search process. So it's almost like fate was on our side with us.
It flowed. It's like, you know what? Let's show them exactly what this is all about. Yeah, Pete, we always talk about how we help people, helping people in finding that job, how to engage with recruiters, how to engage with organizations. And for the longest time, I think people focused on little segments of the entire process, where you and I are taking a look at the entire picture and kind of being the GPS of a candidate. So we talked about how to interview, how to prep for the interview. What do you do after the interview if you got the job? But what happens if you don't get the job?
Yeah, and it's something that is a major part of what people do experience on both sides, the interviewer and the interviewee. Rarely does a manager interview only one candidate for a role. You know, it happens, mm-hmm. but I my experience is that most of the time, more than one candidate is interviewed. That means there's going to be someone losing out on that job, and the decision not going in their favor most of the time. So how you handle that is a reality that most people have to face. I've had to face it. Have you?
Oh, definitely. I'm about to tell you what a hiring authority feels like when they make an offer, because what I do, I always call the person who got the offer, who we want to offer, to make sure they accept it before we call the other two finalists. So once they accept, I call the other two finalists, and when they're really nice, like really, really cordial and nice, I feel bad that I didn't offer them the job. Right now, that's my emotion, right? Because I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I'm hurting this person's feeling, but I feel bad about it. And that's what I tell people: how you treat the relationship with the recruiter after you don't get the job, you're supposed to make the recruiter feel bad. That's how good of a job you're supposed to do afterwards. Make them feel bad, not in a bad way, right? But you know, make that conversation so memorable that when another position comes up again, they'll know to remember you and just go out to you instead of you applying over again.
And that's such an important thing to acknowledge. And it's hard in the moment, especially if it's a job that you wanted, you're mm-hmm. disappointed. You know, some people get angry. You know, and that happens too. But I could tell story after story after story of candidates who weren't initially selected for a role, but ended up having a different opportunity come their way as a result of that interview. Maybe a different job within the same organization, maybe the same job if the initial candidate doesn't work out, or the role expands and there's more people that can be hired. I mean, being in staffing, I have dozens and dozens of stories about that. So just because in the moment it didn't go your way, you didn't get the answer that you wanted and hoped for, how you act from that moment forward can often dictate, you know, whether something good comes your way or doors closed forever. And it's a round world. And being in staffing, you know, like I am, anyone who's in staffing knows it is a round world. And you have to always kind of think ahead a little bit.
Depends who you ask, right?
Well, okay. So
that's another episode.
Yes. No,
yeah. So it's how you said it best. How you treat that relationship afterwards will open or shut doors for you. So this is why I've got three tips here, Pete, that are going to help people. As soon as you're done interviewing and you send your thank, you know, we talked about what's better, whether it's an email or whether it's a personal in a handwritten note. But when they call you to let you know you did not get the job, let me tell you this, you're not wrong in feeling hurt. All those feelings are valid. You just can't act on them. Right. So you are a human being. You are going to get disappointed. You just can't act on them. So when they call you to let you know, please understand a decision has already been made. So whatever urge you have to try to convince them otherwise on how to answer something different or give more information, that time has passed. To not waste any time on that. Thank them for the opportunity. That's the first one. Thank them for the opportunity. Acknowledge how much time it took to put this together. You know, just thank them for their time. Be really cordial with it. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good, really good advice. And it's when you're disappointed, and even, you know, there's a, it's at times, I think, a candidate who's interviewing sees the company as making the decision. And yes, there's a company, but there are individuals behind those decisions, and they're not easy. I mean, I this is a very general statement I'm going to make, but if I, there's almost two categories of interviews that happen when someone's not selected. It's because there was a better candidate for whatever criteria is being applied, either skill set, experience, interpersonal skills. You know, those criteria vary greatly from job to job and situation to situation, but there's a better candidate. And when that happens, there's emotion involved with the interviewers as well, or who will say, oh, gosh, I really like this person. I mean, being in recruiting, we get those calls where the manager wishes they didn't have to deliver that news. Yeah. And yeah. That's real. Those feelings are real. So even though you're disappointed, you know that happens a lot. Now, the other part is when the candidate is just not a good fit for the role at all. Maybe the personality wasn't a good fit, and that there was no emotional connection made. That does happen a lot too. Yep. Usually, both sides know when that happens.
Yeah, that's true.
And the candidate senses it through the interview process. But the hard ones, and the ones we're really talking about now, I think, are the ones where there really is a disappointment on the manager side as well, who was doing the interviewing. And I know doesn't care about it in the moment. To your point, look past the moment. Mm-hmm. Thank them for their time, and even if you don't want to, you should. And that's a reality of life at times where I don't want to do this. I don't feel like doing this. I'm angry. I'm upset. Yes, you rightfully so, but bite your tongue and say it anyway, because it will serve you better long term.
That's right. No, you're right. It definitely will. And again, it's one of those those human traits that you just have to control. Your logic has to take over, because it's going to be a gut punch, right? Yeah. So no, go ahead.
No, I mean, I think the same thing applies. I mean, this is just a little bit of a side note, but when you're terminated, you were terminated as well, that's when there's feelings of anger and frustration and disappointment, and there's a desire at times to lash out at your former employer, what is now becoming your former employer. But even then, just know, and I know we talk about this a lot, it's a part of business. It's a necessary part. It's a bad part of business, but just like death is a part of life, it happens. Companies, when they're not having financial success, when they need to downsize, they will have to make hard decisions. But again, my experience as a recruiter, often being in the middle of these decisions, right? We're not making it, but sometimes we're often having to communicate it. I can tell you that no one's happy on either side, and a lot of times, even worse, the managers who are having to make these decisions, they may be getting that call next.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
So, just remember in the moment that there is a tomorrow in this, and it's hard to do, but that's why we're talking about it, because we do want that, on everyone's mind if they're faced with that disappointing news.
Yeah, and that should be another episode. What to do when you get involuntarily separated? How do you handle that? So you just gave me a great idea for another episode, for Zengage. But yeah, it's you've got to be able to cultivate that relationship going forward, and this is how you start it. So you thank them for the opportunity. That's the first one. The second one, it's going to take a lot for somebody to take this in. ask for feedback.
Absolutely.
Ask for feedback and do not get upset with the feedback they give you. Do not rebut it. Just take the feedback, understand what they saw. Because remember, just because you put out this communication, it doesn't mean that's what they saw, right? You want to acknowledge what they saw, how you came across. That way you are aware for the next one. So if you ask for feedback, that's going to send the message like, oh, man, okay, this person wants to improve. They're saying all the right things. Again, you're trying to make them feel bad about the decisions he made. Yeah, I say that jokingly, but, you know, it does work.
Yeah, you have to continue to draw on my experiences in recruiting. We will, when we present a candidate for consideration, we assume, we don't assume, but based on the, that's the wrong way to phrase it. All of, we expect that that candidate will be interviewed based on all the communication we had up until that point of our understanding of the hiring need and our assessment of the candidate who we're presenting. That doesn't happen 100% of the time. Sometimes candidates will be declined in that stage. We insist on feedback in order to present another candidate because we've invested, as the recruiters, we've invested time and effort in understanding the role, qualifying it on the front end, working with a candidate. And for us to present a candidate, we've asked a lot of them to get to that point. And so there's a lot of time invested on both sides. So if we're not able to get solid and thorough feedback, we're not willing to continue to work on the role because we clearly thought that the candidate we initially presented was the right fit. And if we're being told that they're not, then there's a breakdown in the communication somewhere.
Something's wrong. Yep.
And there's no reason for us to continue down the path that we were already on. So the feedback is a huge thing in the world of staffing and hiring and interviewing. And so you have that opportunity to ask for it and absorb it. Again, not in the moment necessarily. It may lack meaning. You may not be able to appreciate the feedback, but get it anyway. Because it's going to be really hard to go back after the fact and obtain it. Now I'm going to go even further since you brought it up and say, ask for the feedback at the end of the interview. Initially. So in the way I recommend phrasing that is say, have I shared everything that I can to lead you to believe that I'm the right candidate for this job? And if not, please let me know. Now I'm a fan of putting people on the spot while you can, because addressing it after the fact is different. And having the opportunity to address it in the moment, or another way to phrase it is there any reason do you have any doubt that I'm the right candidate for the job? If so, why? Right. Now, what's your take on that? I mean, that puts people on the spot but I think, you know, candidates have that, every interview should have an opportunity for the candidates to ask questions.
Yeah.
And I'm just a big believer that, you need to strike while the iron's hot.
So, okay. We did not talk about this for the show, so this is a surprise for me. Should you ask? You know what? Here's why. Now, this is for me. This is not advice for anybody. This is how I would take it. That would mess me up, because if I ask that question, have I conveyed everything that will make you feel that I'm the best candidate? If they're like, "Well, we have some more questions," that automatically tells me I was not in the top spot. That automatically tells me, and then I'm going to feel like I'm going to have to keep just giving more examples, because now I know that I didn't do well.
Well, then, but that's the whole point, right? And bad news early is good news. I'm a big believer in that. It's a phrase I repeat often because the sooner you know that the news is potentially bad, the sooner you can do something about it. And, in this case, you could potentially turn around the scenario. I mean, what if, right? There was something that, when people interview at times, and this is just natural, right? They get nervous and they may forget something obvious. I mean, I've seen people practically forget their names, in an interview. and that's common. And so if we see things missed that are obvious and that people really know well, just because in the moment that, you know, it slipped their mind, that may be an opportunity to correct it. You know, and let's say you ask me that question, if I'm interviewing you and I say, well, Ricky, yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, you didn't display, you know, XYZ that we think is very important for the role. Now it's going to put the interviewer on the spot and a lot of people aren't going to know what to say, but so be it. I mean, take your shot, right, while you can. But in that scenario, if I say, here's why, and you go, oh man, shame on me for not, telling you this. I have, lots of experience doing XYZ. Here's where I've done it successfully, whatever that situation is. Or, yeah, you're right. And if you're not going to get the job, if you're the candidate, wouldn't you rather know sooner than later? Wouldn't you rather know then and say, yep, I get it, that you're right. Because if it's after the fact, it's too late. Hey, we've already hired someone else. And you say, oh man, the feedback was that they said I didn't know XYZ, but I do. And it slipped my mind at the time, or the question wasn't presented in a way I knew what they were asking. But if you can correct it in the interview scenario, you may end up on the right side of the equation at the end.
I'm changing my tune on that. So now I know. Awesome. So I'll know either I did well or I'm going to Applebee's for the 2-for-1 so I could cry my sorrows away afterwards. So we'll see.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I believe strongly in open communication in an interview process on both sides, because it should never just be about an employer deciding whether the candidate's a good fit. The candidate is also assessing the employer in the situation, deciding if it's a good fit on the other side. So yeah, it's natural that candidates should ask questions. And we highly encourage any candidate that we work with at Four Corner Resources, our staffing company, to go in prepared to ask questions and also take notes during the interview of questions that you want to ask that maybe things that you heard that you weren't expecting or surprise that comes up along the way.
Awesome.
So a little bit off topic, but it's all part of the same, same thing, which the more feedback you get, the better, and the sooner you get it, the better. That's the part that I wanted to impart.
So we thank them for the opportunity. We ask for feedback. Now, normally this is where it ends, right? So this is where I tell people, go above and beyond. Just because you no longer need to communicate with this recruiter, it doesn't necessarily mean the communication needs to stop. You have an amazing, valuable, tangible asset, and that's called the recruiter's email address. You no longer have to guess on LinkedIn who's recruiting for what and who's working on what in what region. You continue that relationship with that recruiter. If you build a relationship with that recruiter, like, for example, what are their favorite books? Because, sometimes you chit chat and you get to know them as a person. And if you find an article that you think will resonate with that recruiter, you have to have talked about it before, send it to that person. Ask them to go to coffee, network. This is the part when you build that relationship, when you don't have to build that relationship according to everybody else. Then in 2-3 months down the road, if another similar position comes up or another position comes up that shares your skill set, because you're going to be in the top of the recruiter's mind because you're in their inbox, you're building a relationship. You just went out to Applebee's to cry about that position you didn't have. Right. So you build that relationship with them. So you continue to build it going forward, and then they're going to be tapping you on the shoulder when a position comes up. Trust me, it works.
The one thing I would want to interject there, because we see this mistake made, is don't be overly persistent in staying in touch with someone. Let some time pass. and I would even let some time pass, a minimum of a month, maybe more, probably more. But I would recommend, if you're going to stay in touch with the recruiter, put that out there up front. Hey, can I reach out to you every few months in case something changes? And at least let 30 days pass.
That's a good point. Don't come, don't stalk them. Don't show up at their house at midnight in the bushes. That's not going to be good. I mean, you're going to get an interview, but it's not going to be with the organization. It's going to be with the local police department.
Yeah, and just know that nearly everyone who, unless they've just been extremely lucky, are just unique in their skill set or who they are as a candidate or haven't interviewed very much. Almost everyone experiences it at some point. Yeah. You know, I had a 2-minute interview once that, the person asked me about my experience and something I had no experience in. And as soon as the question was asked, I was thinking, did you not look at my, this was a long time ago. Did you not look at my resume? And the person clearly had not looked at my resume. And it was just a very brief interview. And, I was disappointed because it was a big improvement of the situation that I was in at the time. And, I was looking forward to it. I was excited. I told my wife about, I'm like, this is
2 minutes.
This is great. I was looking forward to it for days, in fact. And then, the bubble was burst immediately. And the thought of doubling my income, which I was already spending the money in my head, disappeared. It was awful. Those kind of bad experiences have helped guide me in how we treat candidates, because, you know, it's also easily avoidable, but just know that, you know, those situations are common. The disappointment, like you said, is real. And you know, we're not here to suggest otherwise, but we are here to say that you want to live to fight another day.
That's right.
And, know that it, you know, if it wasn't a good fit, it's probably for a better reason. When I say bad news early is good news, that's also in the interview process, right, of whether if the organization has decided it's not a good fit, believe them.
You got that right.
You know, you don't want to go into a bad scenario. So, great advice, across the board, Ricky. And I agree with that. And, you know, from your perspective as HR, my perspective in being a middleman, so to speak, as a professional recruiting firm, we could tell you that how you handle that scenario will often dictate what comes next, and maintain those relationships. Don't burn them down just because, you're unhappy in the moment.
Too many people are doing that these days, and they're videotaping them on TikTok and everything. So you are 100% right. Don't burn bridges. Take every failure as an opportunity to learn, and just make sure you got the nicely paved road going forward. Trust me, it's going to pay dividends, folks.
Even though you disputed that it's a round world, and you suggested it may be flat. Is that?
Hey, I'm open for evidence. I'm open for evidence. That's
awesome. Well, what comes around goes around. How's that? Or I think that's
for some people.
So good. Well, look, this is it's not a fun subject, but it's an important and necessary subject. So, thank you for listening today. This is a short episode because let's hope this happens not often to anyone who's listening, but just know that it's common and you're not alone. And if you have any further questions about it, please, you know, reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. But thank you for listening. That's as much as I have today.
That's right, folks. Thank you very much. Drive safe. And remember, please like us, share us, look us up on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a like, give us a share, and let us know what you want to hear coming up. We would really appreciate it.
Awesome. Ricky, thank you so much. And thank you, sir. Everyone drive safe and have a great rest of your day.
Have a good one. Bye.